parsha, Parshas Bereishis, has so much to talk about, but many aspects of the story of Cain and Hevel have always been a story that intrigued me and has been a great fascination to me. So we only have a few minutes to talk, but let's try to learn some important lessons from this story. So that we begin with the Medrash in the very beginning of Parshas Bereishis, where the Medrash says, Gimel Palayim Nasu Ba'osa Hayom. There were three very amazing things that happened all together in that first day that Adam HaRishon was created. Number one, says the Medrash, Bo Bayom Nivru. On that day, Adam and Chava were created, which obviously is the most amazing of them all. Number two, says the Medrash, Bo Bayom Shimshu. On that very day, Adam and Chava figured out how to procreate. They figured out how they can have an intimate relationship. And number three, says the Medrash, Bo Bayom Hotziu Toldos. On the very same day that Adam and Chava were created, on the same day that they figured out how to be intimate with each other, on that very same day they had children, which is amazing. Astounding. Alu Lemita Shnayim. They came into the world and they had just Adam and Chava, went into the bedroom, V'yardu Shiva, and before you knew it, they had Cain and Hevel and all their siblings, and it was an amazing family that was not to be expected at all, but that's what came about from Adam HaRishon. So there's a fascinating point that is raised by Rav Dessler. Now we have Adam and Chava, now they have a complete family, they have Cain and Hevel, there were a number of sisters who were born as well, and Rav Dessler writes the following, Matsanu Davar Nifla. We have something that is fascinating, Roy Lahavino Alburiyav, and he says it's worthy of our consideration. Hinei, he says, if you read the psukim carefully in our parsha, you will notice that Cain Navi Haya. Cain was a Navi, Cain was a prophet. Kishama kol Hashem kema Adam HaRishon. Cain has an interaction, Cain has a discussion with God, just as Adam HaRishon did, which means he was on the level of Nevuah. And Yesh Lehispale, says Rav Dessler, it is amazing. Afilu achar shekine ba'achiv kinara. Even after he's jealous of his brother Hevel, v'kamalav uritzachon nefesh. Even after he gets up and he murders his brother Hevel, adayin nishar b'nevuaso. Isn't it amazing that he still remains a navi? Don't we know that after he goes and he murders his brother Hevel, we're told vayomer Hashem al Cain, e Hevel achicha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Cain and he says, he starts asking him questions and he starts having a discussion with him. And Cain says back the famous words, HaShomer Achi Anochi, what do I know about my brother? What does he have to do with me? So this is an amazing phenomenon, says Rav Dessler. Here you have a Navi who obviously was worthy of Nevuah. He's obviously worthy of having a conversation with God. And yet at the same time, he's going and he's violating the horrible act of murder. And he's involved in this horrible jealousy of his brother, Hevel. And yet he still continues to have a nevuah. And he goes into a lengthy discussion to explain why that should be the case, even though it sounds counterintuitive, it doesn't sound like it makes sense, but yet he explains why it's the case. I found that the whole story from beginning to end of Cain and Hevel and of everything that happened in this week's Parsha is extremely complicated and it's difficult to have a clear understanding of. When studying and when looking at the life of Hevel, there's a point that is made by the Shem Yishmuel, the great son of the Avni Nezer, where he suggests the following. Hevel, his very name was Haya Be'enei Atzmo KeHevel VaEfes VaAyin. Hevel considered himself to be an insignificant player. Hevel looked at himself as a worthless, as an inferior member of the family. He was not the Bechor, he was not the firstborn, he was not Adam, he was not Chava. And Hevel considered himself to be Hevel VaEfes VaAyin. He looked at himself as a worthless human being. Avol gam zeh ein shevach. It's nice that a person has humility, and it's nice that a person lives life modestly, but he says that is not always such a good value. Sharei haya gam be'inyan ha'avodah kein. Hevel not only lived life as a modest human being, but Hevel, even when it came to his interaction with God, even when it came to his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he took the same approach. Shelo ala al daito laharev oz benafsho lahakriv karban. Hevel felt, how can I be so presumptuous and offer a carbon to God? How can I have the audacity to stand up before God and say, I am worthy of having a relationship with you to the point that I'm willing to offer you a sacrifice? Ad sheraz kayin makriv. Hevel says to himself, this is not for me. This is not something that a human being can do. And suddenly he turns around and he sees Cain is doing it. And he says, hey, if my brother Cain is able to do it, it means a human being is actually able to interact with God. And he turns around and he says, I will be tafel a Cain. I will do the same thing as Cain is doing, as we're told in the Pasuk. Hevel hevi gamhu. It doesn't say that Hevel had the idea on his own. He was not the initiator of this idea of bringing a carbon. even though in the end he came out winning, even though in the end Hevel is the one whose carbon was accepted, but he was just copying his brother Cain, says the Shem Yishmael. The reason why is because he doubted his ability as a human being to connect with God. He didn't understand that I have the capacity to do something special with my life. And Hevel looked at himself as an Efes Va'ayin. He looked at himself as a nothing, as a nobody. And it wasn't until he saw his brother Cain sacrificing a carbon and making a relationship with God, all of a sudden he turns around and he says, hey, you know, this is something I think maybe I can do as well. But originally he doubted himself. And says the Shem Yishmael, even though shiflus is a midah tova, even though modesty and humility, submission, is a very nice virtue in life, however, he says, mikamaka mitzaracher hi midah chasera. Sometimes it can hurt a person. Shechaser lo lios libo mugva bedarkei Hashem, because it held him back from going full force in his relationship with God. He didn't fully appreciate the capacity of the human being. And therefore, says the Shem Yishmael, that is lesson number one that we should learn from Cain and Hevel, that although it's nice to be modest, although humility is very important, when it comes to our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, a person has to be forthcoming, and a person has to understand that I do have the capacity, and I do have the ability to connect with Him in a very real way. My father always likes to point out that when you look at the pasuk, it says, Hevel Hevi Gam Hu. Hevel, this was not his initiation, this was not his idea. He, in fact, was copying his brother Cain. He had no thoughts on his own of offering a carbon. He didn't come up with this great idea, this great plan. This was all just after he saw his brother doing it, he did the same. And my father likes to say, but who came out winning? Who in the end did HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond to? HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to Hevel. And my father always says every year in his Parshas here on Parshas Bereishis, which I'm sure he's giving today as well, that it is not important in life to be the initiator. Not everybody has to come up with a breakthrough idea to make a major change in the world. That is not always the person who comes out ahead. What's more important in life is to do the best that a person can do. And that's exactly what Hevel did. Cain initiated the process of offering karbanos, but Cain didn't do it right. Cain didn't put his best foot forward. Cain gave the cheap produce that he had. He gave that forward to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hevel took the idea from someone else. He was not the initiator, but he gave everything that he had. Hevel gave the highest quality, and that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam is looking for. That's what was ultimately accepted, because Hevel gave all that he had instead of being the one to initiate this process. So as we know, Cain brings a carbon, his brother Hevel follows him and he copies him. Hevel's carbon is accepted, Cain's carbon is not. Now what happens? Vayisha Hashem es Hevel ve'amon chaso, el Hevel ve'amon chaso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to the carbon of Hevel. He ignores the carbon that was offered by Cain. Vayichar l'Kain ma'od vayiplu panav. And Cain is so enraged, he's so upset by the fact that his carbon was ignored, his carbon was not accepted, and his brother's was. Writes Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz in his Sefer Das Torah, a very important insight, it's a psychological insight, but he says the following. Kan vaday halo haisa hakina al ruchnius. I have no doubt, says Rabbi Yerucham, I would imagine that Cain was upset because his brother had a closer relationship with God than he did. And that's a very beautiful reason to be upset. After all, we know that Cain was a Navi. Cain is the one, as we began, Cain is the person who was able to interact with God, not only before he made the mistake, but even after he murdered his brother. So says Rabbi Yerucham, I would imagine that his upset feelings that he had here were because he wasn't able to be as close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he thought. Hello, kinaso kvar haisa kain kinas sofrim. It's what we refer to as kinas sofrim. One Talmud Chacham sees another person and says, I want to be like him. I wish I knew as much Torah as that person knew. I wish I knew how to daven like that person did. That's a very healthy dose of kina. That's jealousy. That's in a good place. Shehi amar be'achachma, that encourages a person to want to build themselves more. However, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls him aside and he says to him, let me ask you, why are you really upset? Go into the depths of your neshama and figure out, why is it that you're upset? Imagine you have two children. You give one child a candy, and the other child gets two candies. So why is the first child upset? He got his candy. He's happy. What's the problem? He's upset because he sees that somebody else has more than him, and that's what makes him angry. My father always says over the story that, I think he said Rav Chaim Soloveitchik used to say, why is it that we find a very strange human phenomenon? You come and you ask a shayla back in Europe, they used to have shaylas on chickens all the time, where a person shechted an animal, few $100 animal that he shechted, and he comes to the rabbi with a shayla. He asks him, is this kosher, is it treif, is there something wrong with the lungs? And the rabbi says, I'm sorry to tell you, the whole animal is not able to be consumed, it's not able to be eaten, there's something wrong with it, there's a treif in the lungs. You're not able to use this animal even though you spent hundreds of dollars on it. Why is it that people accept that psak and they walk away and they're okay with it? Sometimes you have a person comes with a shayla on a utensil that they used on a very expensive item that they have in the house, and somebody used it for the wrong milchik shleishik, they mixed it up, and you tell them, I'm sorry, there's no way to kasher it, you have to dispose of it. They're okay with that. They accept the psak. It might be upsetting to them, but they accept the psak and they walk away. But when you have it in Torah, and you can have it in Torah over $5, $10, $100, it's not even a big amount of money, and yet the person who loses is always angry, and they go and they appeal, and they go and they fight with the dayan, and they're angry. Why is it, asked Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, why is it when I ask a shayla on a chicken, I ask a shayla on a behemah, on an animal that I shechted, I have no problem, I'm not angry at the rabbi for making the psak, but when I go to a din Torah and I'm against another party, even if it's a far less significant amount of money, I feel feelings of upsetness, and I feel that something must have been wrong. Why is it? Said Reb Chaim, the reason why is because I have no problem losing money. My problem is when I see that somebody else gains, that's the thing that really kills me. That's what really bothers me. And that, said Reb Chaim, is the reason why so often when you have a losing party at a din Torah, they're angry not because they lost the money, they're angry because somebody else gained. Writes Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz, and Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik has the same insight in our parsha. When Cain's carbon was not accepted, the Ribbono Shel Olam calls him aside and says, I'd like to know, why are you upset? Look deep into your heart and figure out what is the root of your anger. What is the root of your jealousy? Is it because kinas sofrim? Is it because you wish that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was as close with you as he was with your brother Hevel? Is that really what it's about? Or is it because you're just angry that he accepted Hevel's? Had the Ribbono Shel Olam not accepted either of you, you would have been fine. It wouldn't have bothered you. What bothers you here is the fact that your brother's was accepted and yours was not. And that's why you're upset about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to him and he says, Lama charalach, why are you angry? Is it because, halo im titav se'es, if it's only because l'shem shamayim you want to be closer, then next time you'll do better. There's no reason to go after your brother. There's no reason to be upset. Just next time you'll try harder. But if it's because you're upset that your brother has something more than you have, then, said the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's where the root of this problem is. And Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz writes that so often in life, he says, you find that the difference between Gehenim and Gan Eden is Kechut HaSara. The difference between something that starts off being pure intention and then turns out to be something that is so far from where you intended to originally begin, that distinction sometimes is Kechut HaSara. It's like a thread. It's so sensitive, the difference between those two feelings. And he says over here, even though Cain may have started off well-intentioned and everything started off the right way, and it really was a kinas sofrim, and he really wanted to be able to be as close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he could, but ultimately it turned him so far away from where he started to the point that he ended up murdering his own brother as a result of the kinah that he felt. I'm reminded of a story that's told in the Sefer Reishis Chachma, where he has a mashal about a Baal Taiva and a Baal Kina. He says there were two people, both had very horrible attributes. One of them was a Baal Taiva. He never was able to be satiated. He always wanted more and more. And the other one was a Baal Kina. He was so jealous of other people. He always lived his life looking around and worrying about the way other people were living their lives and being upset why his life was not the same. So there was once a melech, there was a king, who bumps into both of these individuals and he says, look, I'll give both of you whatever you want. I have no problem. I'll give you whatever it is that you request, whatever it is that you wish for in life. But he said to the Baal Taiva, he said, I'll give you whatever you want. But the Baal Kina, he said, whatever you ask for, I'm going to give the other person twice as much. I'll give it to you, but I'll give the other person twice as much. So they were fighting. Who's going to ask first? The Baal Taiva says, I have an opportunity to ask for whatever I want, which is going to be very exciting. But the Baal Kina says, I want to choose second because he's going to give you twice as much as I asked for. So they were fighting back and forth. Who should be the one to make the first request? Finally, the Baal Kina goes ahead and he says to the king, I'd like you to poke out one of my eyes because this way I know that you'll poke out both of his eyes. That's what they came to the conclusion. So both of them ended up losing. And the Reishis Chachma writes, we laugh at that apocryphal story. It's so silly. But he says, how often do you find a person who's so jealous? The root of their jealousy is not because they're going to win. It's not because I'm going to gain ultimately, but I do it just because I don't want the other person to gain. And that, says Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, is exactly what happened here. The Ribbono Shel Olam comes to Cain and he says to him, I understand that you're disappointed that your carbon was not accepted. And that's upsetting to you. After all, you are a Navi. After all, you have a relationship with me. After all, you are the one who came up with this idea in the first place of offering carbonos. It was not Hevel's idea. And yet, now you're upset that yours wasn't accepted. But look deep inside of yourself and figure out, why are you upset? Are you upset because you wanted to to really be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is that really the root of your anger? Or are you upset only because the Ribono Shel Olam accepted your brothers? You would have been just as fine if the Ribono Shel Olam accepted no one's. But you're angry only because someone else has more than you. And the Baal Kinah sometimes gets angry about that, even if it might start in the right place, like Rabbi Yeruchim writes. It starts in a place which is a Kinah Sofrim, because I want to be closer, because I want to be having a deeper relationship and a more meaningful one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's so easy for that to shift and for that to change and become into a situation where it will be so far away from where you began, says Rabbi Yeruchim, that you might even end up like Cain did, having such a horrible outbreak, having an outburst in which he murders his own brother, something he never dreamt of doing. A Navi like that, someone who's so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, someone whose parents are Adam and Chava, who are Yitzir Kapav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but yet, that's how far Kinah can lead a person. That's what ultimately can happen if a person is not careful about their midos, if you're not careful about the way you interact with other people.